This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. There's little doubt in anyone's mind that if left untreated, ash trees in much of the country will be destroyed by the emerald ash borer, an insect that made its way into Wisconsin in recent years. It was just recently detected in the city of La Crosse, and the city council will likely review a plan tonight that calls for removing nearly 900 ash trees in public parks beginning in January. But others suggest alternatives to cutting down the trees. We'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. But first, La Crosse City Parks Superintendent Gar Amundson explained the plan to Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Rysom.
We have accepted the premise, and everybody would be wise to accept the same premise that the DNR puts out, that all the ash trees will die due to emerald ash borer invasion. We've already had one actually infested in the city on private property on a shopping mall, and that's been since removed. So we thought we need to get ahead of the deal. Since we're going to cut down these trees inevitably, once they're infested, they're worthless. They can be used only for chips, landscaping chips, and the process to get them ready is extremely expensive, and the competition to getting contractors to do it will be very fierce because they're going to have more business they can ever imagine. So we're taking the proactive approach and taking the parks, which would be Barron Island, same as Pettibone Park, sure, including the campground, including the boat club, Forest Hills Golf Course, and Copeland Park, which are the largest cluster of ash trees that we have. And we have secured a vendor that has given us a very good price in cutting them down and chipping them up for chips that will be burnt in the Xcel Energy plant. In other words, he has a contract with Xcel Energy. He's got to get chips. That will be the ones that we don't use for saleable lumber. In other words, they'll be cut down and a lumber company will buy them from us. We will secure between $17,000 and $25,000 worth of income off those trees, which will be prepared for the lumber guy to take them away by the other vendors. So there's two vendors. And we're getting a very good price in removing these trees, and we're going to remove the stumps during the course of the winter, and we're going to plan on a one-to-one basis next year.
What's got this deal going with the ones we'll be chopping down the trees and using the wood?
The whole idea started, if you read, and we've been bombarded with literature from the Department of Agriculture and the Department of DNR for years, that this inevitable fact is going to occur. And I'm one, and perhaps other listeners have went through the Dutch elm disease and remember the seeing the huge number of very large trees that were dying and dead, when it was all that a contractor in the city could do to keep up, to remove the dead trees so they don't fall on the street, potentially causing a liability issue with cars, people, pets, etc. And then what do you do with this mass, huge pile of material, dead wood, which at that time, this was 30 years ago, the city stacked it up, made numerous large piles on Isle of Plume in the middle of the Mississippi and burnt them. Produced a lot of heat, also produced a lot of smoke, which inevitably got into the air exchange units with Gunderson Lutheran, which causes problems. So we didn't want to go that same round again. Besides that, the city doesn't have a large expanse of land that they can burn on, and we probably wouldn't be able to obtain the fire permit. So you need to dispose of this material.
I want to ask this because I think when you mentioned this before, it might get some people curious. Emerald ash borer spotted near the mall. It was addressed. How do we know if the threat will spread? Describe as to why, how that would work.
It's inevitable if you do any Googling or any internet search of emerald ash borer, EAB, which we can call it, in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and see the utter devastation that it has caused with communities, and huge cost to the taxpayers.
I wonder if some people are wondering if it's been addressed then and there at the mall, or is there, I mean...
Interestingly enough, it's an insect very similar to what the Dutch elm disease was. The infested tree has been since removed. There were two ash in proximity to that particular tree. One was 80 feet away, had no signs of bugs. Right. Another was 140 feet away, no signs of bugs. Why that tree? I have no idea. And it was noticed due to the first glimpse that anybody would see that you've got EAB is tremendous activity by woodpeckers in the crown of the tree, foiling off the bark to get at the larva.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. Joining us here is Park Superintendent for La Crosse, Gar Amundsen. We're talking about ash trees, or the almost 900 expected to be cut down before the winter time is up. Have you assessed what other communities are doing? I know some have the option of treating the trees, but La Crosse is not alone when it comes to choosing to cut.
We are way ahead of the game in our opinion as far as other communities and doing it prior to the infestation and doing something with the material. In other words, logs, lumber, or chips that could be burned in the incinerator.
Beyond the 900 ash trees in the city parks, is there some idea how many ash trees are on boulevards or private property? Do you have any numbers?
Boulevards,
there?
According to our survey, there's approximately 4,800 trees on the boulevards. And the majority of them are in central La Crosse. That's where the majority of the large elms were, and that's what they were replaced with. And on private property, we don't have an accurate number, but we're encouraging people through our Park and Recreation website and through our Facebook page of how to look for it, how to get an education on it, what to do, what you better do quick, because the longer you wait, the more expensive it is going to be to take care of your problem.
With private property, mailings, giving them a call. How do you address the ash trees on the private property?
On private property, we're getting it out in the media and on our website that they better look into it. They better treat. And by the way, when you say treat, there's no guarantee that the treatment will work, but it will postpone the inevitable. But many people are choosing to treat, and that is their prerogative to do so. They may be lucky, and it may work. We hope that it does for them.
How effective is treating? Have you heard?
No, I have not heard a ratio, and you have a hard time finding out anybody to give a valid basis of success or lack of.
You mentioned before about the city seeing some profit selling off the wood. How much is it going to be to initially cut down these trees?
It's going to cost a little less than $90,000 for 800 trees.
Is there a plan to replace those ash trees you cut down? And if other trees, what kinds?
If they visit Park and Recreation website, there's numerous species, and we're compiling a list that suitable replacements. We're encouraging people that have large trees currently that have been topped out underneath power lines to adopt the idea of choosing a smaller tree that will fit under the power lines so you don't have to have it chopped down, cut down. We're replacing at a ratio of 1-to-1, but it all depends on how funds come in. We've applied for 3 different grants. There are no grants available to cut the trees down, but there are grants available to replace the trees.
When would planting begin in an ideal world? Grants willing.
In an ideal world, this spring.
How long is it going to take to remove the trees and the stumps and such during the course of the winter?
If all goes well, and we're looking for frozen turf, it should be 30 to 45 days during the month of January. We'd commence immediately, probably about January 2nd at Pettibone Park. We will literally close the park off to visitors to drive through while these gentlemen do their work. And from there, the boat club, the campground. Hopefully the ground is frozen by mid to latter part of January at Forest Hills, because that is a very spongy and, of course, very valuable real estate with its turf. We have to have the ground frozen, and Copeland will be frozen.
What happens with emerald ash borers when the ash trees run out? They go, oak doesn't
it's
work
like,
for us?
Pine, it's like a mind. Predator. The species, you know, no longer has a food source available, and then we just will get the bourbon right now because we put it in our emerald ash borer plan. The next species that will be attacked is currently in Chicago, our maples.
How many years have you been with the park department?
Since 1975.
Is this the most potentially the most destructive thing you've seen to local trees?
Dutch elm disease was extremely, because there the elms were absolutely mammoth. You know, we're dealing with the majority of the boulevard ash trees in town now are 35 to 45 feet. The elm trees were, 75, 85, 95 feet. They were mammoth.
And we won the war on that one?
We cut 5 elm trees down this past summer. It came back again. Yeah. The bugs are still around.
What keeps them coming back?
Don't know.
They must find any food.
The largest elm tree in town is in Forest Hills parking lot. It's absolutely magnificent. Why it's not attacked, I don't know.
Gar Amundson is park superintendent for the city of La Crosse, making the argument for why the city is planning to remove ash trees in city parks beginning next month. But not everyone believes cutting down the 900 ash trees in La Crosse parks is the best way to deal with the emerald ash borer. John Fisher, an arborist with Nature's Way Arborist Service in La Crosse, told WPR's Steve Rysom that there are options to cutting down those ash trees.
The insect itself, the adult insect, doesn't move a whole lot, but a lot of it's moved with nursery stock and firewood, a huge issue. If you look at the jump that it's made, it was in the Milwaukee area and showed up in Victory at the campground on the river. So it's an indication that, and then all of a sudden they found it back this summer in Pearl State Park. So it looks like it's jumping around primarily with firewood, would be my estimate.
And it looks like several counties have joined the list of counties in Wisconsin that have them.
Right.
Is the spread kind of a constant thing, or is it getting more of an infestation? Is their reach getting wider?
Well, what will eventually happen is that the reach will get wider, and in the counties that have been identified early on, Vernon, Crawford County, you're going to see a total decimation of the ash dock if they're not protected.
Your position is treating these ash trees in the city's parks. You say it makes more sense right now than cutting them down. How come?
We take a little bit more of a integrated approach to it. What we've advocated for is protecting the specimen or the heritage trees. In the summer of 2010, we did an inventory of Copeland and Riverside Park, submitted to the city forester at the time, and identifying some trees that aren't worth saving, hazardous trees that had some issues and whatnot, but there are some beautiful prime trees that we feel could be effectively protected for minimum cost. I mean, I use the example, and we all know that the city just spent $1.3 million in Grand Anse Bluff. Now, it's a beautiful facility, but that is not where the people congregate in the city of La Crosse. I mean, they go to the riparian parks, Copeland, Myrick, Riverside. And we figured about 1% of the cost that they spent up in at Grand Anse Bluff, those trees could be protected for at least a minimum of 2 years.
With the emerald ash borer, we have one sighting. It was outside of a local mall. That part is, from what I understand, addressed. Do we still have reason to believe that we have emerald ash borer in the area?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time. We're at the very beginning of this curve. They're very stealth insects. It'll be 1 to 4 years before you even see any signs of the infestation. And then it's a matter of from year five to eight, everything, if it's not protected.
When the ash trees, if you choose to, in your opinion, to treat them rather than cut them down, what do you treat them with and how often do you have to treat them?
Well, there's a bunch of different methods. Nature's Way Arbor Services uses a restricted use chemical. The trade name is triage. It's a 2-year rated and it's a direct injection. We directly inject the chemical into the lower trunk of the tree, and it provides a high 90% efficacy for protection.
Does that avoid them from getting infected forever? Do you have to keep it going eventually?
It needs to be repeated at the minimum of 2 years. There are other types of treatment, a soil drench with a chemical called imidacloprid, which needs to be done every year. It doesn't work as well with the larger trees, which is one of the drawbacks why we use the triage.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Steve Rysom, and with us is John Fisher, an arborist with Nature's Way Arborist Service, and it's in La Crosse. We're talking about the city's plan to chop down nearly 900 ash trees to fend off the emerald ash borer. What is costlier, treating or cutting?
We believe in a more integrated approach. There are some trees that are good candidates for taking down. There might be hazardous trees. They might have some issues, a limb that's broken, maybe included blood bark, whereas they're prone to splitting. Some of them have been struck by lightning, this type of thing. We don't have an issue with the city taking some of those trees down. But there are thousands of ash trees in the boulevard. very commonly there will be 5, 8, 10 in a row. What I believe I'd like to see done is that have an analysis done or have an arborist come in and identify if there's a row of 10 ash trees. Maybe take them 2, 3 of them out and replant it. Give the new trees a little time to establish. And then treat the other ones.
Would you favor replanting ash trees?
No, absolutely not.
One of the things about the plan that's mentioned is that there are going to be new trees replaced with all the ones chopped down. Is that a good idea to you? Or is it a bit of a wait before we can enjoy all the trees again?
Well, it's going to be a bit of a wait because most of the trees are going to be maybe 2, maximum 3-inch diameter. It's going to be 15, 20, 25 years before they're the size of most of the trees, most of the ashes in the city on the boulevard currently.
Is it possible, given treating some of the trees and cutting down the others, that we could stop the emerald ash borer in the community?
Ultimately, the insect is going to work its way through the community, and once it eats its way through the food stock, which there's a lot of it currently, and the only thing that's going to be available are the treated trees, the population is going to crash. But with the caveat with that is that you've got to continue to treat the trees.
What happens when we run out of that? If they can't access ash trees, does the spread stop?
Well, the spread's going to continue. It's headed west and it'll head north. It did the same thing in Michigan. I'm a native of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've seen what it's done in my hometown in just the last 3-4 years. And it's gone from a position of you didn't see it to everything's dead.
Is it the most destructive thing that you've seen in your years as an arborist?
I would say so, yeah. Now, with the history of the emerald ash borer, it was only identified in the year 2002 in the Detroit area. Now, here it is 10 years later, it's in 19 states.
Are they going to make much of a dent in a potential problem if here we have, I would estimate from what I've heard, thousands of ash trees on private property that may or may not get addressed? I mean, is chopping down 894 trees or treating them effectively going to keep it off with a... Well, you still have all these trees on other properties that no one's going to have access to unless the folks who own the property say, come on in.
No, absolutely not. The insect will work its way through in the community and destroy every ash tree that has not been treated.
So it is impossible from treating and chopping down trees in the parks and the boulevards and stuff to stop the...
No, it will not eliminate them.
Anything else you think I need to know, John, about this?
I think it's important to note that a tree is a dynamic living organism. You know, with a used car or an old appliance, if it starts to nickel and dime you to death, you can just replace it and you can upgrade it and you've got the newest and the best. But you take a 20-inch diameter ash tree that might shade your house, keep your house cool during the summer, or your deck or your patio, you take that down. Your alternatives, you can't replace it. You can put a 1 or 2 inch nursery stock in, but it's going to take 20, 25 years for that tree to grow large enough to replace the tree they've taken down. In the parks, what we advocate is that the specimen or the heritage trees, and there's a few of them, the money is put into protecting those trees instead of just the chop and awe strategy that the city is looking at right now.
Are you familiar with other efforts throughout the state? Is there a community that you feel is doing it right?
Milwaukee is doing it right.
What are they doing in Milwaukee?
Well, they're doing an integrated approach. They're treating some, taking some out. They're spreading the cost over, you know, a period of years where they're literally not going through and just, like I said, the chop and awe type of approach, taking everything out. And we talked earlier about the particular parks, the Riverside, Copeland, Myrick Parks. That's where people go to congregate. That's where the music, the festivals are. And particularly Riverside Park, and I use the example of, at the Bandshell, stage right, there's a bunch of trees that everybody during the Wednesday night community concert and Greg Belfamy's concerts on Sunday, everybody sits under those trees. Those are ash trees. And the plan is to take those out. There will be no more shade there. And I think that for a fraction of the cost that actually would take to take those trees, chop them out, they can be protected. And you can replant other trees and give them an opportunity to grow in their place. As you come into the city of La Crosse on 16 to the west, there's a park called Rolick Park. Not a lot of people are aware of it. Just after you come over the railroad bridge right before La Crosse Street. Now, there's a sign there that says City of La Crosse, and to the right of that sign, it says Tree City USA with an Arbor Foundation sign in, and a little thing that says 20 years. One-third of those trees are ash trees in that park, and most of them are the white ash, the spectacular color you see in the fall, the purple reds, and those trees aren't that large. For really a minimum of cost, they could be protected. So we've got a park that identifies the city of La Crosse as being the Arbor City for 20 years, and trees that could be minimally protected cost-wise, and the plan is to chop them all down.
Have you heard a lot from homeowners about ash trees on their property and what to do?
Yes, we get a lot of homeowners. I've treated hundreds. We've been doing this system since 2009, so 2013 will be our fifth year using this program. I've protected, injected hundreds of trees in the Cooley region in five counties now, and I'm working in Minnesota too. So,
how costly is something like this with treatments and such? And what sort of work can I expect you to do to keep this tree alive?
With the system we use a direct inject system that is a restricted use chemical, so you have to be certified and licensed to use it. It depends on the size of the tree, the diameter at breast height, they call it. On average, anywhere from $150 to $250 to protect a tree for a minimum of 2 years.
Any advice on people who do have ash trees on their private property and they might be concerned about the emerald ash borer?
The advice that I would recommend is they need to make a decision whether they want to protect these trees or eventually they're going to succumb to the emerald ash borer. And, you know, I've worked with private citizens. I've gone out and done estimates, and they've just decided they want to take them out. And that's going on right now. And I've done hundreds of other trees where people have chose they don't want to lose that tree because it shades their house. They planted it 30 years ago. I run into a lot of that. And they love trees. And they love that tree on their property. And they're willing. It's like maintaining a car. I mean, anything needs to be maintained. Like I said, they're a very dynamic living organism. And they don't ask a whole lot. You need sun and water, little nutrients. But this insect is going to infest and decimate the ash dock unless it's protected.
John Fisher is an arborist with Nature's Way Arborist Service in La Crosse. He talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Rysom. Fisher advocates for alternatives to cutting down ash trees to fend off the coming invasion of the emerald ash borer. The La Crosse City Council will consider a plan tonight to cut down almost 900 ash trees in La Crosse parks. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Coming up, how churches and religious leaders in Wisconsin are trying to encourage more civility in daily life. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, we invite you to visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.